In the Gospel of John, we have read in chapter 5, or studied a little bit to think about it, verses 1 through 9, and then followed it through verse 18. Now, in the light of that, may I remind you, since there were several lessons there, and to try to hit them, we'll try to do one at a time, somewhat. And in chapter 5, we share together in verse 6. I'll read it so we'll have the refreshment of memory. Chapter 5 and verse 6. And when Jesus saw him, this is the man, 38 years, with an infirmity, sickness, disease. And when Jesus saw him lie, he couldn't get up, couldn't walk, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? That was just a simple, straight question. Do you want to get whole, healed? That was a simple, straight man. Just out of the blue, the man is there waiting, has been there many, many years, off and on, waiting. And the Lord steps in a big crowd, all over the place, on both sides of the pool, all four sides of the pool, and probably. And in the process, the Lord chooses that man in that group. The crowd doesn't recognize him. All the sick and all the infirmed are looking at each other in the pool, and he just sort of walks into the middle of the crowd and picks this man and tells him, would he like to get healed, whole, made whole? And verse 7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming down, another steppeth down before me. So over the years, every time something happens, someone always beats me first because I just can't make it to that pool. And without help, I try to make it, but without help, I just don't make it. Verse 8, Jesus then said unto him, three commands, three simple words. Rise, that's a command. Take up thy bed, roll up your bed, the stretcher, the straw, the cotton, roll it up and walk. Take up thy bed under your arm, over your shoulder, and walk. He hasn't walked for 38 years. And the man, nothing is said about faith, nothing is said about anything. The man just immediately stands up at the command, and we shared last time, if you want to have a sense, which you have to have, that when he was standing there, if you were to look into the earthly face of our Lord Jesus Christ, you would know it. You would know it. And he said, jump, you'd jump. Wow. And this fellow did. He wasn't going to fight. He just stood up just like that because he said so. God said so, and he did it. Now, and he stood up and walked. Verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, that was very important at this point in history, because the Lord is going to deal with that, which is what? The main item to the Jew. Jewish leaders, what were they counting on? Well, they tried to do everything 7 days a week to the law. And on Sabbath day, they had all of those, it said 1,512 different categories of work, W-O-R-K, and then all kinds of things under it that you would have to do, and you couldn't carry. A man carrying a needle in his garment, robe, was breaking the law. It was a burden to carry anything, any kind of work at all that they could do on the 6 days. And thus, so in the process, they were all upset because this man was to walk. God didn't pick somebody that had been sick for a week. he picked somebody that had been out of business for 38 years. So you have a whole 38 years of living in Jerusalem knowing this guy. And it would be awful hard to live in Jerusalem for 38 years and not somehow in that city pass this fellow. And so you know him. And so when he comes, and just to make sure that you want, you say, well, this looks like the guy. No, this guy is going to identify himself. God has him identify himself by picking up his bed, his stretcher, as it were, and putting it on his shoulder or under his arm and walking with it. So you knew without any question, this is that man. This is that. And where did he go? He went to the temple. He went to the temple. It was a Sabbath day. All the leaders are there. It's the day everyone goes. It's a feast day. Everyone's all around. And he publicly is carrying his bed, carrying a burden to the chagrin of all of them. Wow. And the leaders promptly went after him. Thus, you would remember, the leadership, as we said, wasn't happy, and they didn't care about whether he was healed. Not one word is mentioned. Boy, is it, wow, what a wonderful thing happened. You could now walk. They didn't care 2 cents, as far as the record goes, and far as the incident goes. They didn't care whether he could walk. That wasn't the point. It was the Sabbath day. And that was their day. That was the sign between them and God. They were counting on their doing and their saying and their coming and their going. And this was their credentials of their relationship to God that legitimized and legalized and made them true, the true people of God. Now, and in the light of that, they came, you know, over in verse 12. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? They wanted to know the person who told you to violate the law. And verse 13, and he that was healed wist not, he knew not, it was Jesus, who it was. For Jesus had conveyed, he slipped away just as fast as he came in, and he was gone. And the great multitude were all around, and you couldn't see him, find him, or anything. The man was left alone. He said, I never had time to thank him. I never had time to ask him his name. I never had time to talk to him. He gave me, take up thy, do you want to be whole? That's the first sentence. The second sentence, he said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And that's all he ever told me. And off I went. Off he went. Now, so, verse 15. Now the man met our Lord Jesus in the temple, verse 14, we'll go back to that. Verse 15, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. Therefore, the Lord Jesus was the fellow way back here in the beginning of his ministry. Remember, he went into the temple, turned the tables upside down, and boy, he's no question, you Jewish leaders and you people, you know this one, Jesus. That's Jesus again. Uh-huh. And it was on the Sabbath. God picked it. Wonderfully so. He always picks everything. Verse 16. Now therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. They sought to kill him. They did not want him to live anymore. And from now on, they're going to try to kill him. All the way down the road, they're going to try to kill him. Now, you would think that the Lord Jesus, at this point, first time, you would think that he would go and answer their question about the Sabbath. But he didn't. And remember verse 17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. We're both working. We are both simultaneously working. Now, you didn't say a thing about the Sabbath. No, he didn't. He's going to give him a better understanding of the Sabbath than they have. Now, over if you would, we're going to go in chronologically in time, a few days, not long, a few days, maybe a couple of 3 weeks, we don't know. We're going to move forward in time. And the Lord is now moving about, and he has another occasion on the Sabbath, a few days, weeks thereafter. Over, if you would, to Mark. Matthew does too, but Mark. Mark, Luke, and Matthew all deal with it, the subject. May I pick up, please, in verse 24. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you ever read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abathiah, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat. Remember the 12 loaves every day that were there, of each one for each tribe of Israel, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, The Sabbath. Now here's his answer. God answers it later. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created. God, why did you rest on the seventh day? Why did you do that? Genesis 2:2-3. The Sabbath was established for man. It was for man. And the little word preposition for, on account of, because of, for the sake of, it was a reason. What was the reason for the Sabbath? It was made on account of a human being, Adam and Eve. They were the Sabbath isn't made for God. God rested on the seventh day. The Sabbath is made for man, on account of people. That's why the Sabbath is there. And for man, and in the reverse, verse 27, and not man on account of the Sabbath. Man wasn't created for the Sabbath. Sabbath is created for the man, for the person, for humans. The Sabbath is for humans. That's important. And therefore, the little word, therefore, consequently, accordingly, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord. He happens to be the Lord. He is the Lord, present tense. He is the author. He has the authority. He administers. He is the administrator. He is the author, the administrator of the Sabbath. It is his personal property, his Sabbath. He rested on the seventh day, and he did it for man on account of the humans. Humans could benefit from what he did. And he rested, and we wanted all the humans to be able to share, to be able to enjoy this Sabbath, the day of rest, to stop and realize the Creator has made his creation for the humans. Stop and rest. All 6 days, all of this, he said, is for the humans. For the humans. I want them to understand, appreciate, experience, and enjoy the Creator. How? By his creation. Now, having said that, and you would remember that in Genesis, without turning there at this point, in Genesis, if you went to chapter 2, verse 15, what were they to do before Adam and Eve sinned, before any of that? They were to go and to dress and to keep the Garden of Eden. They were to keep it. They were to dress it. They were to dress, to till, to toil it, to make it, to make the ground what it should be. And they were to go and keep and guard, keep it safe. It was their personal property that they were to protect, as it were. And they were to guard and keep that and dress it. They were responsible for this piece of ground, the Garden of Eden. And after the Adam and Eve sinned, they were to work. They hadn't sinned, so there wouldn't be any sweat, because work involves sweat. You remember in Ezekiel, in the temple coming up in the millennium, the priest, you know, the priest will wear linen garments in the millennium, 1,000 reigning years of Christ, and they will wear linen garments. And the reason they're going to wear linen garments, because it tells you, so that they don't sweat. And in Genesis 3 and 18 and 19, sweat is because of sin. We work and we sweat. By the sweat of your brow, we sweat, work. Now, God, here we are. We did all this. And you made the seventh day so that humans could understand your creativity. You're the creator, and they could experience and enjoy you by the creation. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, and God created it all out of nothing. He took nothing and just created something. Now, over, if you would, to get the movement a little bit, I hope I don't lose it on you, in the process, here they are to work, and they're to the Sabbath. They're working before sin, after sin, and that to remind themselves in all that they're going through, sin, sorrow, suffering, but then there's the Sabbath to remind them that there's a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God, a wonderful Creator who created all of the things that they were doing and it could enjoy and experience, and that they were to know the God who created all of these wonderful things. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5, picking up, please, in directly, if I may, verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, said Solomon, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun on earth, disconnected from heaven, under the sun, all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. So as humans, we're to enjoy eating. God gave you the taste buds. God gave you the food all over the world, all kinds of different kinds of food and fruits and everything, and he gave it. You didn't have to be saved. Just had to know God made all this. Now, over to chapter 3. Ecclesiastes in chapter 3. And if I may, going to verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? He's going to work and work and work, the sweat of his brow. I have seen, said Solomon, the travail, the labor, the anguish, the toil, which God hath given to the sons of men, to be exercised in it. So God, you're doing all of this. Sin, you could have just clipped everything on us. You didn't. You allowed us to continue on earth. And sin would affect the animal life and vegetable life and everything. And our sin would affect it all. But we're to live. And you made it so that we could live and have an existence and have opportunity to enjoy the wonderful creativity that you've done as Creator. And that we have opportunity to consider you the only God and the only Savior and honor you. And you give us all kinds of years of our life to consider it. Now, in verse 11, he, God, hath made everything beautiful, suitable, shining, useful. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. His time. Also, he hath placed the world, eternity in their heart. Why? So that no man can find out the work that God maketh, from the beginning to the end. God, here we are, time to be born, a time to die, and all of this, and all of these things. And God, you made all of this, and here we are lingering. We're born and live a little while anyway, after we're born physically. Verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, his work. It is the gift of God. God gives it all over the world. Everyone can eat and drink and go to work and rest and have the benefits of the sun, the stars, and the water, etc. Verse 13. So that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, as it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. So God, you give us all this time, and all these things are there, and it isn't that you shouldn't enjoy them. He didn't say that to the fellow down the street or the person over there. Didn't make any. Enjoy it. I created it for you. And I want you to understand, Israel, that you are to represent the Creator in a most wonderful way. So you are going to be distinguished from all of these nations. You are going to be distinguished because every seventh day, every seventh year, you'll do nothing for a whole year. And what you raise in the sixth year will last you a whole year. And your whole land will rest one whole year. You won't have to plant anything. You won't have to worry about food or anything for a whole year. And you know what? That's why the Babylonian captivity took place. Why? Because they did not observe the seventh year. They didn't believe God. Wow. So now, here we are, and they are to observe the Sabbath day, and thus all the nations of the world would look, especially in the seventh year, and the year of Jubilee, when everything goes back to, you couldn't, every piece of thing that you started with in the 50th year goes back to you. So your property may be gone, but in the 50th year, if you're still alive, it all goes back to you and your family. Everything goes back to where it was. All the world would look. Wow. And do you know that if we took a trip through Israel, there's no one farming. There's no one working. Wow. Why is this? It was a sign of their unique relationship to God, for the world to know that God is the Creator. And on the seventh day, he rested. He rested. Now, having said that part, now, over if you would, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Now remember, God is the Creator. We have created nothing. Nothing. God spoke, and there was nothing, and then there was something. We created nothing. All we do is enjoy the wonderful laws and science and what God has done. And we can discover all kinds of wonderful things so that we can go and orbit the moon. Because we practice the laws. We practice what God has given. We don't create anything. We can only enjoy and exercise creation. That's all we can do. And so that is our privilege, to exercise the laws of science and food and everything, agriculture, wow, and enjoy the wonderful produce. Now, in the process of all of that, God, now, message, Israel didn't get it. Obviously, they didn't get it. What are you doing? You're violating the Sabbath by carrying a burden. And the Lord Jesus said, no, you don't understand. I work and my Father works. I want you to understand that you are enjoying the wonderful work of God, which he finished and is resting in. And it is being outworked. That which was done is being outworked. The laws were made back at day one, but all of those laws were valid all the way to today. We could just discover them, all kinds of cures for disease, all kinds of things that we could still discover if the Lord allows it. We could discover them. They aren't there, they aren't new, they've always been there. We just can get educated to exercise that which the Creator has created. Now, God, what did Israel miss that we want to understand and we want to lock on to so that we can be a good testimony to Israel? Here we are meeting on the first day of the week because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you remember, without getting into all that, these are Jews on the day of Pentecost and thereafter. I want you to know they're all Jews. There may be a proselyte in there. There may be that. They're all Jews. And in one few hours, they go from worshiping on Sabbath to the first day of the week. I tell you, something awfully awesome must have happened to change people like that. You bet it did. He arose. And he lives. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here we are, God, we want to learn. We want to be educated. You betcha. And thus, in verse 20, giving a little bit of the context. Verse 19, I'll start even. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Verse 21, therefore, knowing the wisdom of the world is foolishness. The world doesn't understand the marvelous purpose of all of God's creativity. Verse 20, and again the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Why not? For all things, little words, they aren't big words. You don't have to be a big, big genius. All things are yours. What do you think that means? Now, if I had up here on the thing up here, and I put down a $1,000 bill, make believe they used to be, and a $500 bill, and they used to be. If you ever get them, hang on to them. And I put down a $100 bill. I put down a 10 and a 20. Should we lower ourselves to a dollar? There they are. And I tell you that you can come up and they're all yours. Would you take one of them? Now, I know you don't want to be greedy, so you don't want to show the people, but make believe they aren't watching. Would you take them all? Because what? Because why? They're all yours. You understand that part? All right. Verse 22. Whose ours? What do we own? What on earth are we involved in that we have the wonderful ownership in some awesome way because of our Lord? Verse 22. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and that's why we have his word and his wonderful person. Apollos, Cephas, that's Peter, All three apostles and all of them. Of the world, the whole world system, that's right. You don't need to wish I had the whole world, you have it. Whole world. Life, you already have that. Death, you own that. You own your own death. We said it 100 times. It's a wonderful thing. You own your own death. Well, and Things present?
Uh-huh.
Things to come. All are yours. How come? How so? And you are Christ. And since you belong to Christ as a son in the Son, and Christ the Son belongs to God the Father, then in the light of the Son belonging to God the Father, you own everything the Son does. Romans 8, you are called joint what? Joint heirs. Not just heirs. We're joint heirs. We own it with Him. The head, the body, owns all the head does in a marvelous way. Marvelous way. And Christ is God's. Wonderful ownership. A wonderful, awesome. Do you think most Christians understand that? Do you think they enjoy that? It's true. Absolutely true. The Sabbath, resting, God gave it. Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And here's the Sabbath, the rest. What are you doing? We don't have to create anything. We enjoy what He has created. We exercise what He has created. We enjoy it. That's our privilege to eat. You'll probably eat something today somewhere. And you'll thank God and eat the food, whatever. And you ought to enjoy it. That's what that we're God. You set it apart. The sin's out there with all the stuff. But hey, we're looking to you, God. Thank you as you set apart it all. Now, having said that, over if you would please to Matthew chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11. And we were there last time. I just want to pick up the thought quickly. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, our Lord makes a wonderful statement to a world, Jewish world, that isn't believing. They ought to believe. But they don't believe. They don't believe. It'll be more tolerable, more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for Caesarea and all these others. It would be not very good, but it would be more tolerable. Verse 28, chapter 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor, to me, who I am. All ye that labor, because everything you have is in Christ, and Christ locks it in, and thus you are a joint heir, and you are to possess it, and you are all labor and a heavy laden, carrying the burdens. That's right, we're carrying our stretchers, we're carrying our loads, we have them all there. And what are you going to do, God? To dump them? No, I'm going to give you rest. Rest, relief, refreshment, so that the load is there, but the burden and the weight and wonder of it all is finished. It's all done. You don't have to create anything. Enjoy what's there. Exercise what's there. That's what to do. And, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn. Remember we did it in Sunday school. Learn. The verb means to get, bring something into your experience so that you can understand. It isn't to be passive out here, sitting out here. It's to bring something into your personal life to experience wonderfulness, the wonderfulness. Learn of me. Let me be the wonderful one that you learn from, that you have an experience from. And out of it, it legitimizes all the things are yours. How can I look at my death and my life? Easily, in Christ. Without Christ, I have a problem. But in Christ, I don't have any problem. No question about that. Wow. Now, so having said that, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. There's the word again. Rest, refreshment for your souls, in your soul. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I want you to learn so that you can go through down the corridor of time and relax. You're going to have a whole lot of things. There's work, sweat, hard things, labor, toil, but I want you to relax. I want you to relax. It's not a big job. If you understand that I rested on the seventh day so that you would rest, I know what you have to go through, but I'm there to help you through it. So on the, just like a yoke, you know, you're in the ox, one ox is on the other end here and aside, and the other ox is over here. The Lord's over here and you're over here if you're under it, and you're going to go. And the yoke is, God, do you know how to go down the corridor of time? Yes, I do. And I want you to know, I'm going to take you down there, inch by inch, day by day, hour by hour. Hebrews in chapter 4. To make happen again and again and again, rest, rest, rest. Rest, to cease, to desist, to come to an end, stop. Hebrews chapter 3, may I just pick up a statement. Going, if I can, in verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not, N-O-T, enter into not their rest, his rest. He rested. Not we rested. He did. It's his rest. So you don't have to say, well, I don't. It isn't yours. It's his. His rest. But to them that believe not, they are not going to know his rest. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Verse 19. Verse chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, have an awesome awe of God, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy, and I'll give you rest. I'll give rest to your soul. You either come. I don't want to come. Then you'll miss out. You'll plain miss out. We don't want to come short, miss the mark of his rest. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They needed to trust what God said and put that weight, heart, weight, head down upon that, what he said, and trust him. By faith, we walk by faith, believe God. God is to be believed and allowed to be God. You must believe that he is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And thus, skipping down, if I can, over to verse 4, for he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. So that's going before the law. You mean all of this is true? That's right. The law just, I had to tell somehow, I needed to have a people to tell them what I already had done on the seventh day. And here's the people Israel to communicate to the world that God created the world on the seventh day and rested. See their rest. Verse 5. And in this place, again, if they enter into my rest, his rest, my rest, said God, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They just didn't do it. They could have had it, but they didn't do it. They didn't rest. They had a wonderful wilderness journey, but they never enjoyed the rest. And God, and you remember now, the wilderness journey, the cloud by day and the fire by night would go, the tabernacle, and every time when it moved, it would move at 2 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock move, and you'd get up, pack up your tent, and you'd go wherever that tent went. And then it would stop, and they rested. God was teaching them to rest, to pay attention to God, go with God, rest with God. Go, rest, go, go. Rest while you go, rest. And the finished work of Christ, the finished work. Watch, picking up. In verse 7, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. There is a wonderful, wonderful rest. And don't harden it and say, well, that's for yesterday. It may be. But it is also, God never took it away. God never took away the seventh day. God never said, there's no more rest. It's true in heaven, the angels serve day and night and they never rest. But they're always resting. And thus, so here in verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? In other words, they didn't enjoy the rest. This word rest means the word rest, and then a little word in front of it to intensify it, to make the word rest and to get big, R-E-S-T, rest, finished, final, abide, abiding, resting, finished. And if you enter into the rest that he has, it's finished. He rested on the seventh day, and he hasn't started creating, as it were, again. He's going to create a new heavens and a new earth, but not yet. He rested. It's finished. God, you rested on the seventh day. That's right. And what do I want you want us to do? I want you to learn what the message is. You are to rest. You are to understand and enjoy and exercise all of the wonderful things that I have done as Creator. And you are to be very thankful in everything, everywhere, whatever you eat and drink. Do it to the glory of God. Do it and wow. Thus, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is a rest to the people of God. Uh-huh. And God, that's what it's all about. What is the book of Hebrews about? It's about maturing, growing up, not being a little baby, growing up. Grow up and understand what it's all about. Roll up your sleeves and go with it. Wow. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And in the light of that, since there remaineth a rest, a Sabbath rest, God has said it and God has settled it. So verse 10, for he that is entered into, he that is entered into his rest, God's rest, when a person is resting in God's rest, which is finished, nothing to do except enjoy it, he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased, stopped, desisted, from his own works. He isn't trying to work out and find rest. He has found rest. He isn't trying to get it. He got it. You already got it. Now rest in it. But what am I going to do? It isn't doing. He rested. I'm resting from my work to rest in his work. Verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his, to rest. God's timeless, eternal state of rest. To cease, to end, to bring to an end. The resultant rest of all of the wonderful work of God the Creator. Wow. God's rest, always in place. The rest of relationship. Rest. Now, try to illustrate that. Do you know there are branches out all over the place now? And all of those branches have been there all winter, all through the summer storm and everything, and they're there. And they have been what? As we would call it, literally, the branches have been resting. True? Haven't they been resting all winter? They're resting. And they're resting. Do you know what? They're budding, green to that. They're still resting. They're going to have leaves. They're still resting. The branch just rests in the vine and allows it to work itself out. In do you know, most of you were born physically. And in the process of all of that, you have a relationship, like it or not, in these awful days, you have a relationship to father and a mother. That's the law. It's the only way you get here, contrary to all government. You get here by father and mother. Egg and seed. Okay, now, do you know that when my father and mother were alive, I'll use me for that, when my father and mother were alive, do you know all the way from when I was a little boy, all the way to when I was a little bigger boy, all the way, I never had to work at being a son. Did you know that? Why? Because I was born a what? A son. I didn't work at being a son. I rested because I was a son. I rested in being a legitimate son. Therefore, I could work and live and exercise being alive. That's right. The church, believers, real born again believers, the body. Do you know my body? You all have one body, head. All of your bodies are wonderfully, wonderfully resting in your head, aren't they? Using the physical part of you, understanding you're a person inside. But just for the sake of illustration, keep it physical. Brain, blood, all these 10 trillion neurons, neutrons, photons, nitro, everything. You got it. Okay. In the head, did you ever have your elbow say, I think I want to have for lunch a ice cream? Did you ever hear your elbow say that? Every single part of your body answers to whom? Your head. Every part of it. And all of your body is resting in your head. Is it not? If you take away your head, I got to tell you, you got problems. You got problems. It's resting in your head. Believers are resting in the head, Christ, who gives us all things and makes it all work. And we're learning to rest so that we function. You know the wonderful statement God makes in Philippians. We work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. And then tells you how, so you don't have to guess how can I do that? Because the salvation belongs to God. Verse 13, For it is God which worketh in you both to what? To will and to do of his good pleasure. So you're letting God. God's the head, and you're the body. And you enjoy a rest. You can't do a thing to improve on your salvation. You can't do a blessed thing. He said it is finished. You aren't going to do a thing to improve it. All you can do is learn to exercise it and enjoy it. Not struggle and strife and everything nice. Not our goodness and gain and occasional pain. Not worry and want and wishes come true. For that which is of us and by us and for us robs us of God. When we get involved and try to work, know that God did it. I don't do a thing to improve being saved. I'm just to exercise it. I don't do a thing to make the world. I can exercise his creative work, but I don't go and create anything. I enjoy his creation. And we're to rest in that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So that God, in your wonderful kindness, in the middle of it all, God, what are we doing? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God created, the Lord Jesus Christ died. You're resting in God's wonderful eternal rest. Creation, redemption, is resting in God's eternal rest. And what does God tell you to do? I created you to be on top, to rest in my eternal rest. By creation and redemption, I want you to rest in that. I want you to truly, truly enjoy the experience and wonderment of all that I am to you. If you'll let me. Israel wouldn't do it. Israel wouldn't do it. Going to kill him. Ah, you lost out. So therefore, there is a rest that remains to the people of God. It didn't go away. It's finished. And so what we do, we learn to trust God and look to God. And so in the middle of it all, we're going to look to you. And we're going to look to you with all our heart. And we're going to trust you with God. It's nothing we're going to do, God. It's what you have done. People don't understand rest. They don't want to. They don't want to do it. We like to think we're doing stuff and we're safe because we don't need to trust you, God. And thus we never enjoy you. We never enjoy God, who you are. Our Father in God, we look to you with a little bit with all our heart. And look to you to deal with our heads and hearts and help us, God. So in the midst of our poverty, there's great wealth. In the midst of our sickness, there is great health. In the midst of our weakness, there is great strength. God, wonder of wonders, in our poverty are great riches. Wow. And it isn't in this world, God, we're going to outwork the wonderful life that you've given us. The wonderful life as we live on planet Earth. God, help us, and for those who know not as you as the Lord and Savior, God, deal with their head and heart. Help us to grasp, to get a glimpse of what you've done. Already done it, God, no question. It's just, what are we going to do with it? Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.